Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour on a Friday with Turtle. Hanging out with you till 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am pleased to welcome in our next guest on the Wade4.com hotline, our Hoops insider, Deshaun Tate. Please give him a follow at Tate's Take Hoops on Twitter and check out all of his content. Before we get to the Hawks, who just wrapped up their first summer league game with a big win over Miami. Deshaun, what did you make of Cooper Flagg's debut?
First of all, thanks for having me, Turtle. I really appreciate it. I always feel like I have to remind people, even myself in similar instances, that it's just summer league, people. It is just a summer league. Relax. But I had to remind myself of that for an obvious reason, because it takes me back to when people were always telling me about this generational player and so on and so forth. And I think once you put that to the side, you can be able to accept whatever comes along with when you're watching anybody play. Obviously, that being Cooper Flagg. And I saw a lot of really good things, a lot of positive things. He wasn't always the most consistent person, even though that's the narrative that kind of was thrown out there if you wasn't watching games this past year at Duke. So 0-for-5 from three, you got to work on that. Obviously, we could probably say that about everybody in this league in the efficiency standpoint, 5-for-21 from the field and everything else. But I saw a lot of positive things that I can see translating, obviously, to the NBA level, and maybe some other things that are just kind of, I mean, you're putting on an NBA uniform or having an NBA logo on a practice uniform for the first time. There's going to be butterflies for everybody. So it's easy for us to sit back on the lazy boy with the feet kicked up and criticize and, you know, pinpoint every little thing. But it was definitely underwhelming. But ultimately, I think that it was just okay at best. He'll have better days ahead of him.
Speaking of expectations, Bronny was also in that game.
Yeah.
He looked okay. I mean, is this kid going to have a real shot to make it? Or is this just all for show?
No, I think he will, but for partially for some different reasons, though, too, right? I mean, he's going to get opportunities that other guys are just not going to get because of his last name. So to give it a little bit of, you know, get a little bit of an extra leash to grant him an opportunity for it to actually work out, you know, so that's a separate thing. But I mean, what's preventing someone like a Bronny James, once you kind of imagine and envision, same thing we did with Cooper Flagg, envision the removing the last name off the back of the jersey and accept him and appreciate him for his actual game. I think that, you know, there's some optimism there. There's some positivity. We know the athleticism size is good, but he's got the most pressure of anybody dribbling a basketball probably right now whose last name isn't Clark. So, you know, outside of that, what's preventing him from being someone like a Gary Payton II, who, you know, has the athletic ability, can be a really good defender in this league, and can honestly do nothing to help you lose games and can only do things to help you win basketball games? I think that's the type of player that he is and that he will be in the longevity of an NBA career, again, for different reasons. But I think that he'll be just fine, and he'll make himself out to be a decent or an average NBA pro.
Hawks just wrapped up their first summer league game with a win over the Heat. A sight for sore eyes, Deshaun, is Kobe Bufkin went off for 29 points. Does he have a real shot to be the backup point guard this year, you think, for the Hawks?
As he should and as he is supposed to in this summer league game. But, no, I mean, absolutely. You know, he is the guy that is, you know, faced with a lot of pressure of being the guy that's going to back up Trey and obviously going to be limited in the time he's going to see. And, you know, there were some positive signs of seeing him on the floor when we were able to see him on an NBA floor for a game that counted. But obviously because of shoulder injury or thumb injury or this, that, and the other, I don't think that he is the most ideal guy for a backup point guard spot. I think there still is some need to maybe go out there and try to find someone with a little bit more veteran leadership and extension of the coach on the floor and, you know, all of that type of stuff, game manager type situations. But, you know, he obviously performed good as I expected that he should. We'll see what that looks like going forward for the remainder of the games out in Las Vegas. But I don't think he's the ideal guy, but, you know, obviously you wish him well because he's wearing a Hawks uniform and continue to improve on the things that he's, you know, maybe not so great at, but and continue to kind of perfect, if you will, the things that he already has been pretty good at. I think the biggest thing for him that I'm kind of impressed with is that no matter whether he's played good, played bad, played a lot, played a little, he has a level of confidence and a good balance with that, that I think that not all guys in this type of situation backing up an all-star, a superstar fringe, if you will, type of player like a Trey, you just got to have that. It's good that he can defend somebody like that in practice every day.
Asa Newell, first-round draft pick. Nice little stat sheet in the first game. 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a couple of steals as well. When you were evaluating him coming out of Georgia, how pro-ready did you see him?
Pro-ready for sure. I think a large part of that is because of the thing that he does on the floor. He don't have to teach him how to do a whole lot of things that he is going to be required or asked of to do. Because he does remind me very much of like that Derek Lively type of player within that role, you know, to be able to kind of protect the rim in some situations. I think that will be kind of a sneaky area for him, that he can do some of that rim runner, bring some energy, some rebounding, you know, the energy part. I think a lot of that is going to come from Joakim Noah. Type of player, kind of in that mode, if you will, being that big energy guy and running the floor like a deer. And then, ironically and coincidentally enough, a guy that we saw as a rookie last year and they just got done playing them on today was Khalil Ware. You know, the development in the first, you know, season that he had, maybe Asa Newell may not necessarily duplicate or replicate that. I also think he has a better jump shot from the, or more of a perimeter threat, excuse me, especially within this system, that Quinn Snyder has put together better than those other guys that I just mentioned. So I think that he'll be fine. And the thing, again, the things that he, I think he's just going to maximize his opportunities with doing the things that he knows that he does well already. They'll slowly pull him into and bring him into, you know, being able to extend that a little bit more. But of course, that'll be after a few years, kind of similar to what we saw with someone like Onyeka Okongwu.
Talking all things hoops with our basketball expert, Deshaun Tate. Make sure you give him a follow and a pop at Tate's Take Hoops on Twitter to catch up on everything NBA. I know it's not surprising that Reese Shea is not in summer league because I think Anthony Bennett was the last number one overall pick to play in the summer league his sophomore season. But did you see enough from him as a rookie to say, okay, he's ready to take another jump and become a great player this year?
He's actually a player that I would have been okay with if he did or didn't play in the summer league, you know, and I can't say that about all the players. I think there was one year I felt like Kevin Huerter could have played the year after. I feel like there was a year that, you know, Cam Reddish could have, you know, played, you know, in the summer league again and things like that. I don't know if I necessarily feel that way. I don't. The feel for the game, I think, Reese Shea has. And the amount of time that he saw on the floor this year, I think, kind of put him in position where he saw enough minutes on the floor for games that count, and being okay with that. Probably just working on continuing to work on his body and continuing to gain weight and continue to get confidence. If anything he probably could have gathered a little bit more of was from a confidence standpoint, being in the summer league, I think that maybe could have helped him a little bit, but I don't think it was an absolute 110% necessity to have him out there on the floor. I'm actually okay with the decision that was made.
Before I let you go, what do you make of all the LeBron James smoke out in L.A.?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit out of the loop on some of that, trying to kind of get into a groove of understanding what the direction is for someone like a LeBron James. But I think that it's a really good situation he's in. I mean, you start looking at those teams out in the West. Now everybody talks about how competitive that the West is and so on and so forth. And I think that they have a good chance to be able to make a run to the Western Conference Finals this year. I mean, we could talk about LeBron all day long, and obviously he's got somebody like a Luka Doncic who he's kind of bringing under his wing a little bit, kind of teaching the game too of someone who can get a lot better in different areas, starting on the defensive side of the ball, leadership and some other stuff. But even for someone who I think was one of the biggest gets for what their needs were and what he needs to kind of revitalize his career, if you will, as a former number one pick, is DeAndre Ayton. I think we're going to see a side of DeAndre Ayton this year, especially because of LeBron James. The fire kind of lit up in the belly of someone like a Ayton, to where we can then kind of see those comparisons that, you know, we probably hadn't seen since his time in an Arizona uniform and on the collegiate level. And it just kind of goes to show how much better he can make the guys around him. And I'm excited to see what he looks like, obviously, in a Lakers uniform, talking about LeBron, or whatever uniform he's going to eventually end up wearing, which I anticipate ends up being a Lakers one. But I'm excited to see someone of that age, with the same age, to go out there and do it on the highest level, the way he takes care of his body and everything else that everybody already knows about. Just competitive basketball and just the appreciation. I think we don't have that enough. The appreciation of someone like a LeBron doing what he's doing at the level he's doing it at. You don't hear about him in the news about a whole bunch of different other stuff, off the floor issues and everything else. I think you can do nothing but just tip your cap and appreciate him. Once we learn how to just appreciate him for who he is and what he's doing for our game, instead of being one of the most criticized athletes of all time, I think that I think we can learn something from that and be able to take it at face value at that point.
Deshaun, appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll check in soon.
Thanks for having me, Turtle. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Deshaun Tate, our hoops expert there. When we get back, he's in the home run derby? Wait, what? When did that happen? I'll share some news I just found out with you. Plus, I'm going to see it this weekend, and I'm nervous. I'll share that with you. Plus, a producer six-pack with O. We're going to do all that in one segment? You're damn right we are. That's why you don't go anywhere. It's Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Okay. All right. Let's everybody
go ahead and let it out there, Colonel.
Yeah, let's everybody gear up. And here we go. Matt Olson will be participating in the Home Run Derby at Truist Park on Monday. Okay? Everybody digest that for a second. Ronald Acuña Jr. will not. Yeah. But he will, apparently, still start in the All-Star game. You know, it's not that Matt Olson's a bad thing. I actually think you could argue he's a better home run derby participant because he's more of a natural home run hitter, especially with that swing. But man, Warren, like, is this just not the icing on the damn cake?
Disappointment, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, is this just not the icing on the damn cake? I mean, come on. Again, Matt Olson is filling in for Ronald Acuña Jr. in Monday's
This home is his run second derby. Career home run derby.
Again, you asked me before in the true false segment, could Ronald Acuña Jr. win the home run derby? And I said no. I don't think he can. He's not a true home run hitter. He hits a lot of home runs because he's a great hitter, but he's not a home run hitter. He doesn't go up to the plate looking to hit a home run. Matt Olson does. So I actually think he's a better fit for the home run derby. But that's not the point, Warren. The point is, in a lost season with not a lot to take pride in, everybody just wanted to see Ronnie go up there swinging.
Yeah.
And I guess because of the back, now he's not. What? And now, it's hard to do, but if we take the emotion out of it, this is probably the right move. I mean, it is the right. It's not probably the right move. It is the right move. But man, like, it's like the old thing with your parents. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Like, I'm not mad at Ronnie. How can you be? I'm
just disappointed.
I'm just
at the
disappointed,
situation.
Man. Everybody wanted to see him go up there and try to win.
Yeah.
Like, it just stinks. The whole thing stinks. 2025 just stinks for the Braves. Like, again, we joked around about this, though. Like, okay, let's just get it all out this year. All the suck. The home run derby now, the record, everybody's underperforming, all the rainouts. Like, just leave it all on the table for 2025. Come back 2026 and be fresh.
Let's be better.
It has to be, right? Can't be like this again. Ugh. Ugh. Matt Olson in, Ronald Acuna Jr. out for the home run derby. Man. Okay. Well, hopefully something that brings me joy instead of makes me upset will be when I go see Superman on Sunday. I was invited to go. Ready, Oren, for this?
Yes.
It's my entire girlfriend's family.
Huh.
And me.
An interesting collection to go see Superman with, it sounds like. Yes.
It's myself, her two brothers, and her mom and dad, and me.
I passed up a chance to go see it early this morning at 1:40.
1:40?
Yeah, some friends of mine went to go see a very early showing this morning, and I declined.
Yeah, there's this thing called sleep. Yeah, you ever heard? Oren, what kind of friend? What are they all? Overnight club DJs? Like, what are they doing?
They don't have a two-month-old child, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't have a two-month-old child, and I'm not going to a movie at 1:40 in the morning. I don't have any. I have myself. I have a cat who could be fine. As a matter of fact, he'd probably love having the whole bed to himself at 1:40
in the morning. Rafa's all good with you going, yeah.
Why? Or, I mean, are they just that big of Superman fans, or... Like they couldn't wait till tonight?
Oh, they enjoy Superman, yeah.
Wow. What movie theaters open at 1:40 in the morning?
You'd be surprised at what you could find at 1:30 in the morning, 1:40 in the morning to go see Superman. And it's a big enough movie that probably a 1:40 showing is not that unusual.
You're not getting home till 4 a.m. if you go to a 1:40 showing.
It was way out there, too.
Wow.
Yeah, so that would have been a hike getting there, a hike getting back.
I mean, no traffic, but...
No traffic, but, I mean, does it matter at that point?
How big was this contingency?
It was probably about 6, 7, or 8 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they give you a discount on popcorn if you go to the movies at 1:40 in the morning?
You don't get a discount on popcorn, unfortunately.
Because I would think, like, that's the end of the day's popcorn, right? Like, do they try to sell it off to you for cheap?
No, you get the... You get
they
the,
make it fresh?
You get the fresh pop at that point.
All right.
I don't want to go to a movie at 1:40 and get stale popcorn.
Well, that's why you would get it at a discount. Should I be nervous? What was the review?
Oh, the reviews have been great.
Okay, good. Because I'm scared or not.
Well, first of all, it's the director from...
James Gunn.
James Gunn, who did all the Guardians of the Galaxies.
Yes.
He did the second Suicide Squad, and he's been tasked with the DC
saving
side.
Saving DC.
And you can just tell by the previews that it's a much... Superman is a very light character. I say light in the sense that there's hope, there's optimism.
And that has not been the theme of the recent DC movies.
Henry Cavill was like this brooding sort of like... Superman is this... Like he comes to Earth to sort of help humanity because...
He's naive in a way.
Yeah, humanity needs help. Like he sees a people that like, hey, I want to help you guys out. The Henry Cavill ones came off as like him very condescending, like I guess I have to help you guys out because you can't do it.
And they made it seem like it was very, I mean, I know Superman has political elements to it, but it was literally political, those movies.
It was
about him versus the government in regulating what he can do as a superhero.
And they gave him this deity complex, too, which I wasn't a big fan of. Like, I know Superman is, like, all-powerful, faster than a speeding bullet, you know, more powerful than, like, I know all this stuff, but we don't have to buy into that to the point where he just seems like he's just over everything. And I feel like the Henry Cavill movies, they did a very good job of portraying Superman as like this deity-like figure. And I didn't like that. Wasn't a big fan of that.
What'd they say about the dog?
The dog got really good reviews too.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I was a little scared about the dog because that's a risk.
It is a risk
in a Superman movie having to have dog, Crypto in there.
Yeah, Crypto got very good reviews. So from all accounts, I've heard good things about Superman. I've heard good things about Lex. I've heard good things about.
Well, I love Nicholas Hoult.
Yeah,
I think he's great.
I've heard good things about Lois and Jimmy, and I've heard just the character choices that they have been great.
Has she, what's her name, Rachel Bresnahan, I think is her name?
I think what she's been in.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. She's been in something. I can't remember what it is. But okay, I'm going in optimistic now,
The word that I've heard more often than not, when people describing the Superman, they've described it as fun.
That's exactly what my dad said.
It's fun.
Yeah, that was the exact word that my dad saw it on opening night, and he said it was fun. And he said it's fun in the same way that Guardians of the Galaxy was fun.
And James Gunn is very, very good at turning those, like with the ensemble movies, like making it a very fun, even if there's a serious topic. Like the last Guardians of the Galaxy was like kind of depressing in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, you got Quill's an alcoholic, and then, like, there's scenes with, like, animals. Like, they're kind of, you know, they're mutated animals, but animals being shot, and there's orphans. Like, there's some really serious, like, some more serious stuff than had been in there before. And they make it all kind of come together. They make it, like, lighthearted, and they still make it fun.
All right, let's do a little rapid fire here. Producer six pack on a Friday.
All righty, sir. Question number one. I watched a full summer league game in a sense this afternoon with the Hawks and the Heat. So my question to you, sir, how much NBA summer league are you going to watch?
I will not seek it out, but like right now, I'm watching Utah and Charlotte just because it's on. We got two TVs in here, so you get Braves, and I can have my choice of what I want to watch. And I'm watching Utah and Charlotte in the Summer League. Little Kyle Filipowski action going on. Little Walter Clayton Jr. action going on.
Yeah, a little.
So,
again,
I'm not looking up the Hawks.
Knuckle?
Yeah. Again, I'm not looking up the Hawks schedule and turning on the games with intent. But if it's like a situation like this, I'm interested. I like watching the development of these players because it just makes you feel more familiar as you watch them transition from college to the NFL. I heard John Fricke's shtick, okay? And that's what
this is. Basketball.
Yeah, that's what I just heard. Well, do you talk sports for a living or don't you, John? I mean, you get feign the interest if it's not there. Like, I get it. I'm not watching, you know, I'm not a big like college baseball fan or NASCAR fan, but if I got to talk about it, I'll talk about it. Come on, John. Come on, Fricky. So, yeah, I'll watch it in a situation exactly like right now.
Okay. Vegas last week put out their over-under win totals for the 2025-2026 NBA season.
Okay.
Coming in with the fourth most wins in the East.
Can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
For the Hawks. 48.5.
46.5.
Okay.
So my question to you then, sir, are you going to take the over or under on that?
Well, over. I just said 48.5.
Would have been 48,
right?
Huh?
Yeah. I think they can win 50 games next year. I really do. I was close, but not as close as I would have liked to be there. I was in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're behind the Cavs.
Knicks. Pistons.
Orlando Magic.
Okay.
And behind the Hawks are the Pistons.
That's how I see it, pretty much. Where are the Celtics?
Celtics are a little further down.
Oh, geez. Okay.
A little further down.
But I like it.
Okay.
I like it. 46.5. I mean, that's 11 more wins than they were prescribed to win last year.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay. With the news now of Ronald Acuña being replaced by Matt Olson in the Home Run Derby, will you watch the Home Run Derby now?
Yeah, because I'll be here.
Oh, If you weren't here, then let me ask you. Okay, if you weren't here, if you weren't working, if you were at home.
Well, you're going to be here too, right?
I am. But yeah, if you weren't working, if we had no show that night, we had an off night, would you be at home watching the Derby?
I'm going to say yes, just because I don't have a show that I'm watching right now. I'm in between shows. So, like, if I have a rare night off like that where I could, like, you know, if I'm not working on an evening and I can go home and watch a show, because I don't know about you, Warren. Maybe I'm just weird like this. Like, I can't enjoy leisure activities before work. I just don't, for some reason, let's say I was watching a show. I was watching, you know, the latest season of whatever. And I tried to watch it before I came in. I just wouldn't enjoy it. Okay. It's like the thought of knowing that I have to go to work and do like my job beforehand just makes me not enjoy it. Does that sound weird, or do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So it's the same thing. Like, I don't even like going out to lunch, like, on a day, because I feel like it's not the same. Like, knowing I have to go back home to my apartment get ready for the show. I'm never going to go see a movie during the day on a night that I have to come in here and work. It's just not the same. I'd rather just stay at home, make sure I'm on top of everything, do my little routine in the morning, and then come here at night. So I'm going to say I probably would watch it for that reason, and also more specifically right now because I don't have a good show. If you have any good show recs for me, hit me up at C Thomas Radio. I'm in between shows right now.
All right, we're going to go five tonight because instead of getting six here. Let's be quick here. Grant Holmes, yes or no, he is in the starting rotation next year for the Braves.
Yep.
All right. Last question. You mentioned Superman going to see him. That's your plans. Any other plans this weekend for you, Turtle?
Tomorrow, Murph's, 2 to 6:30. Come hang out. We'll be doing it live. Come have a brew. Come have some good food. 2 to 6:30. You... me, I'm going to be there doing a four and a half hour solo show, so I need your company. All right, when we get back, BMAC, Bryant McFadden, joined Dukes and Bell with Fricky filling in. What did one of our favorites have to say about the state of the league? You'll hear that conversation next. The NFL offseason rages on, and one of the best in the biz to talk about it here on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you till 10 is our good buddy Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers. He stopped by Dukes and Bell with our good friend John Fricke filling in. And the first thing the Frickster asked was, what's the bigger storyline right now? These draft picks developing or the guys who still haven't signed contracts yet?
Yeah, and I'll throw another big name player that is involved with some uncertainties right now is Michael Parsons. Will they get a contract done in time for training camp? And if there is no contract done, will he show up? Will he be a hold in or not even show up at all? So to your point, no question, it's throwing a lot of more pizzazz to training camps. Training camps are already a big deal, John, as you know. But now with so many different storylines attached to so many organizations and National Football League, it gets even more ramped and ready to go, knowing that we got football right around the corner.
All right, I'm going to go right straight into BMAC's wheelhouse here, and I'm going to talk to him about the AFC North. All right, what we know and what we don't know. Okay, just because I saw the thing was ranking the divisions. Yeah, AFC North is the number one division. I'm like, oh, okay, if you say we know Baltimore, we know Baltimore, we get Baltimore, we understand Baltimore. The rest of the division, I'm going, I don't know. I mean, I think Cleveland's a borderline potential disaster. I don't know about your Steelers. I mean, I think the average age on the team is like 37 and a half. And the Bengals don't seem to have anybody that wants to sign a deal. You tell me about this division.
Well, the thing about the AFC North has always been known to be one of the more physical divisions in the National Football League. You know, going back decades, it's just had that mantra associated with that division. But currently, as you stated, and I agree with you, outside of Baltimore, we don't know exactly what we're going to get, right? And right now, Baltimore, I think it's safe to say, John, if you were to ask the consensus, Baltimore is the only legit Super Bowl type of contender in the AFC North as we see it today. Now, a lot can change between now and November, but as we see it today, they're the only legit Super Bowl contender. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, Mike Tomlin, with or without Aaron Rodgers, he's going to win 9 of 10 ball games. We know that for sure. But the playoff appearances haven't been ideal. They have been a dud, to say the least. With Cincinnati, we know they can score points. But has the defense improved? No. I think the defense has actually gotten worse than Cincinnati because their best defender, we don't know if he's going to show up in Trey Hendrickson. Not to mention the first-round pick that was supposed to help improve the defense, Shamar Stewart, we don't even know his contract status because of the language that he's not agreeing with, and he hasn't done anything with the team. And one thing we know for sure, Cleveland is going to be Cleveland. They're a few years away. This is going to be basically a rebuild, trying to figure things out. But we don't believe Cleveland would be a very, very competitive, relevant team for 17 weeks in the National Football League. So I agree. It's been known to be a competitive division. They were a year ago. But outside of Baltimore, who can you really trust in the AFC North until we see otherwise?
Right. I mean, and Pittsburgh keeps bringing – by the way, because they're probably going to be the oldest team in the NFL. And that's not just – is with and because, but not just Aaron Rodgers. Brian McFadden on the WayForward.com hotline with John Fricke on 92.9 The Game. By the way, speaking of the Steelers, one last thing here. Brian, who won the trade with Miami, the Ramsey-Minka trade?
For me, it's Pittsburgh, and here's why. Pittsburgh gave up one starter in Minka Fitzpatrick, and they got two starters in return. And Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. And when you look at the Jalen Ramsey deal, the Miami Dolphins, they're paying around $7 million of his 2025 contract. So if you're Pittsburgh, it's not on the whole, not on him for the entire $25 or $26 million that he's receiving. Miami is still paying some of that money, which is a great situation to be in as well. So I look at it that from that side of things, you lost one starter, but you gained two. And both players can impact either side of the football field, right? When you had Minka Fitzpatrick, he only impacted the defensive side. Jalen Ramsey can give you some type of production on that side, but Jonnu Smith can actually help the offensive side, and that clearly is a dire need for the Steelers.
You know, it's going to be really interesting in these camps, I think, to see some of the analysis from people like you, Brian McFadden, on because every year it happens, is, you know, the windows in the NFL can be fairly short. Unless you just happen to be, you know, Pittsburgh or Green Bay or somebody, maybe New England, maybe now Kansas City, where you can have an extended run with a quarterback and a head coach. So if you don't have that, then the windows can close pretty quickly. So I'm wondering about, you know, windows closing. Are we going to see, like, for example, did the Lions miss their window and is it going to close? And I look, Detroit fans, just hear me out here. Your division's competitive, dude. I mean, the 1-4, any of those teams can win that division. Is that window closing? Is it closing on the Rams and suddenly in the NFC West where that Super Bowl was kind of the high water mark? Is that what's happening here?
Well, let me address the Detroit Lions first, John. That's a great question, by the way. I'm not quite ready to say the window has closed for the Detroit Lions. But they missed a prime opportunity, in my opinion, in terms of the teams they've had the last few seasons, right? Let's go back to 2 years ago when you look at the year they had and then being on the road in the playoffs against the San Francisco 49ers, having a double-digit lead in the second half. You have all the momentum in your favor, but because of the aggressive nature of Dan Campbell, instead of taking points, you didn't get any points, and San Francisco came back to win that ball game. That was a prime opportunity right there because you don't know if you can ever get back to that moment again. And then they had another outstanding year a year ago, and you lost a home playoff game to a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. I mean, those. Now you look at this season, John, still a very, very talented roster. You never question that. But you lost the catalyst in terms of coaching on both sides of the football field. Ben Johnson, who's one of the more coveted names in the National Football League offensively, stayed put with the Lions. Didn't leave when he could have left. Scored a lot of points. Jared Goff was at his best. You have nothing to show for it. And the same could be said for Aaron Glenn on the defensive side. So I'm not saying the window has closed, but they missed prime time opportunities, John, when you look at everything that was working for them. And to your point, the division is much more improved. I think the NFC North, the old black and blue division, is the most competitive division in the NFL today as I see it. Then when you transition to the Los Angeles Rams, no, I think it's the total opposite in terms of my argument with the Lions. Their window hasn't closed, and the opportunity is still there.
And the reason why I say that, John, is because it was supposed to be a unknown type of season for them a year ago. When you lose your best player in Aaron Donald, one would think there would be a setback. Right, John? Aaron Donald is one of one. And I know you have Matthew Stafford, you had Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and the rest of the guys, but Aaron Donald was the best player on that team. He retired unexpectedly. And because of the play of the young players, no one really talked about the Rams not having Aaron Donald a year ago. And you got in the playoffs, and you were actually the most difficult competitor to the Philadelphia Eagles throughout their entire playoff run. And Sean McVay, in my opinion, John, I think he's the second-best head coach in the National Football League behind Andy Reid. Like, I don't know how they made the playoffs the last two seasons, because when you look at their roster, no one thought those players would develop and be able to sustain the level of play that they did to be able to have the success they had. And they're going to get better. Now they're utilizing draft picks. You remember once upon a time, they were trading away first-round picks, second-round picks. Now they're actually utilizing those picks to improve their team. So I think their window is wide open, and their prime opportunities are still there.
All right, so I got about a minute left here. One of the other things is going to be the other side. Who does the window open for? I'll give you three teams. Here in Atlanta, we like Bryant, the Falcons, more than the national media does. That's fine. But we think their window's opening. I think Houston's window is wide open right now in the AFC South, and I think Arizona is having a window open for them.
Yeah, I really like what I'm seeing from Arizona, man. Let's start out west first and foremost. They've done a really good job in adding talent. I think Kyler Murray kind of gets overlooked in terms of the type of quarterback he is, and I think their defense is going to be very, very good. Now, that's a very, very peculiar division out west as well, because I don't expect to see the injury surface with San Francisco like they did a year ago. And they still have some talented guys, along with being well coached. So you know they're going to be more than a serviceable unit team. Houston, I love Houston because they got a great head coach and they got a real legit play at the quarterback position in C.J. Stroud. Now the luxury that Houston has is similar to what Atlanta has in terms of the division kind of being lukewarm. You know what I mean? Right now in the AFC South is Houston and everyone else. You know what I mean? Now when you look at Atlanta, I think they got an up-and-coming superstar in the quarterback in Michael Penix. I think this offense is going to really do numbers. I think the biggest question mark with Atlanta is how good will the defense be? That's the thing. You know, Atlanta, over the last few years, they've had issues in two major categories defensively, putting pressure and sacking quarterbacks, opposing quarterbacks, and red zone defense. You know, you got to be able to get the timely stops. Will they be able to get the timely stops? And that one luxury that I talked about division-wise, it's all about Tampa right now. Tampa and Atlanta, the two best teams in the division. The other two teams still trying to figure things out. New Orleans, they're in the midst of a rebuild, and you don't know exactly what you're going to get from Carolina, right? Now, they kind of surprised a lot of people with their play, especially with Bryce Young. But still, I think they're a few years away from being a legit contender in the division.
Well, B-Mac, always a pleasure to talk to you. Nice to catch up with you again. Enjoy camp, and thanks much for dropping by.
Thank you, John.
That is Brian McFadden, one of our favorites here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, for those of you worried about Ronald Acuña Jr., fear not. He is in the starting lineup. The Braves are actually currently up 4-2 in the top of the second. So, an offensive explosion for the Braves in the first two innings.
That's
of this
a crooked
game.
Number we haven't seen
really
often.
I mean, geez. And our man Acuña has a hit. He has a double and a run scored. So looks like this home run derby thing, and if you missed it, he is going to be out of the home run derby, and he is going to be replaced by our very own Matt Olson. All right, when we get back, what did Deion Sanders have to say about the state of college football? He was not mincing words. Does he ever really, though? We'll let you hear that conversation next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.